Welcome to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you are ready to find your inner magic, develop great habits, and a rock steady mindset to feel confident, comfortable, and fit in your body, you are in the right place. I am Kim Barnes Jefferson, and I'll be giving you weekly doses of health, fitness, and life tips sprinkled with humor and real talk. If you're ready to be consistent without the stress of perfection, Magic Makers, it's time to slip into your favorite pair of PJs, grab some coffee, kick back, and listen to today's show. Hey, Magic Makers, it's Kim here, and I wanted to give you a quick preview of today's show. Today, I interview Ali Grotlin, and it is a juicy conversation. She is a nurse by day, but she is someone who has paid off over $36,000 in debt while saving 10 grand for her wedding. That's pretty freaking impressive. And I know that, yeah, debt, health and fitness, what? I wanted to bring up this conversation because I know there are plenty of you out there who have been in debt, currently in debt, and you just don't want to go back. And Ali has some great tips and tricks for you to do just that. Yes, there are other financial gurus out there that have their system, but Ali has a great take on it and finds a way to help you blend it so that you make it your way. And, you know, also, you get to create an emergency fund. She has four things that you should consider when going into debt. And it also means not living, you know, ultra frugally so that you could pay off your debt. So she has some great tips on how to get that done. And, you know, now she looks at debt as blessings already received. So, ladies, take a listen. I can't wait to hear your feedback and let me know what you think. So here's Ali. Ali, why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
I am a pediatric ICU nurse. I work night shift, and I've been a nurse for 4 years. And I recently started my business helping women pay off debt and save without sacrifice. I'm 30 years old, and I was recently married last November. And we live in North Carolina with our two dogs and a cat.
Oh, all right. You got to throw a cat into the mix.
Yep.
So this is what I found the most intriguing about you, because, you know, you're 30 and a lot of my listeners are over 30 and they still are struggling with debt. They're struggling with, you know, it might be debt from, you know, college. It might be debt from, you know, in your 20s when, you know, you thought you bought everything and you forgot that there was going to be a bill at the end of the month. You know, so what was it that got you into debt?
So I went to school in California. That's where I'm from. And I actually have two bachelor's degrees. My first was in exercise science and my second was in nursing. And my first bachelor's, I got most of my school paid for because I swam in college and I got a scholarship. And my parents did help me. But I was like obsessed with shopping and stuff. And so I feel like from high school all the way up to when I finished my nursing degree, I really liked to, like, I loved Lululemon. I would spend tons of money there. I spent all my money that I had. I never really learned how to save any money. I never tracked my spending. I knew that I had student loans coming up, but I really didn't care at that point. My parents had been paying the interest on it for a couple years, and then all of a sudden, when I graduated from my first bachelor's degree, I had like all of this debt, and then I just accumulated more while I was in nursing school. I was unaware of, you know, how to save, if I should be investing in things. I was working two jobs, so I always worked, but I always spent all of my money, and a lot of times more because I worked so much, so I wanted to, you know, treat yourself. So I guess shopping and kind of keeping up with others and not really knowing what I should be saving, or that I should be paying off my debt, or I should have paid cash for my nursing degree. All those things I never really learned. So I had to kind of like have a huge wake up call a couple years later to learn all those lessons.
And you know, it's so funny. So, you know, I'm taking notes as you're talking, and you're not alone in that. I feel that, especially college, and you know, college is not exactly cheap. And I feel that because we're getting such good value while it's happening, and then, you know, 4 or 5 years later, they're like, here's the giant bill. And you don't really assess, because I know I was in the same boat. I didn't really assess how much it was because I paid a little bit, but it was the, you know, like you, it was in 4 years, here's the giant bill. And I don't know what the solution is for that, but I feel that there needs to be, especially now, you know, college is, you know, $30,000, $40,000 a year. I think there needs to be some type of, this is what you're going to owe at the end of college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I had no idea like what I owed until I moved across the country for my first nursing job, and I had just bought my first car because my car did not make the trip all the way across the country. And I was like, oh, excited for my new car. And like, I had paid off some of my credit card debt. And then I got my bill for my student loans, and it was like $46,000. And my minimum payment was going to be like $400. And I didn't even take the time to look at like, this is how much I was going to owe, which that I think people just sign on the dotted line and they never really realize that there's going to be a number at the end of those years and they're going to have to pay it back.
Yeah, 100%. I think about like most things when you sign up for like some type of credit. You know, I know that when I bought my car, you know, my car said, you know, making these numbers up, my car cost $20,000. And if I put down $10,000, this is what my payment would be over X number of years, or that would be my payment over X number of years. And I feel like student loans don't do that.
Mm-mm, they don't. They just say like, this is how much you have offered. And yes, they don't tell you like, this is how much you're going to owe at the end if you have this percentage of interest rate. And one thing people don't know that I actually have to tell people is student loan accrues interest daily. It's not like credit cards. It's daily interest. So you are getting charged a certain amount daily, which accumulates a lot faster. Yeah.
That's some shit. That's like a racket right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, like that's not, I don't know that, you know, I'm a senior. I know my parents can afford X number of dollars. I know I have X number of dollars, and then the rest I'm going to go to whoever for my student loan. And I don't think that, you know, at 18, 19, you have a clue. You know, there's no, at least when I went to school, and probably the same thing for you, there was no course that said, hey, let's do checkbook 101.
Mm-mm, I didn't have any of that.
No. So, and then when you go to college, you know, everyone pulls out their ATM card for late night pizza or, you know, going here, going there, and you're just like, oh, I'll pay it. And you pay, you know, $40 here, $40 there. And it doesn't even like put a dent in what you're spending.
Nope.
So, you know, so here you are, you drive across the country, you get these bills and you're like, holy shit.
Yes. And I accumulated more debt like for credit cards because I didn't listen to my parents and I didn't save a certain amount of money before I moved across the country. And I also didn't realize how much money would be taken out in taxes. So I kind of didn't factor in my low cost with my cost of living. And I was barely making it without working any extras. And then I actually eventually had to work extras like overtime. Because as a nurse, your overtime is pretty much endless. You can pick up shifts for the majority of the hospitals whenever.
Right.
So I realized that I was going to have to work overtime every week in order just to pay my bills, which that is not a way to live. So
no, and that's not a, and you know, what you just described is how most people do it. You know, most people will pick up that extra shift. Most people will pick up that second job, you know, just to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So you said to yourself, you know, because that is a shitty life, you know, especially if
you have children, like, when are you going to see them?
Yeah.
Or if you want to have kids, like, you're never going to be around. So what was it that you said, like, all right, this is not a life?
So I actually vividly remember going to the gas station and having, you know how you can pick like credit or debit mm-hmm. on your, so I didn't have enough money. And so I had to put like $7 on my tank and I knew my account would overdraft if I put debit. So I put credit and I just remember feeling so crappy about not having anything saved, having to pull out money every paycheck. If I did save any money, I would just have to pull it back to pay for things. So I just remember paying for things like on credit, like groceries and, that gas station experience. And I finally decided, I was like, I can't keep working four shifts a week, which in nursing that's 48 hours. So it's 12 hour shifts a week. Ugh. I was trying to work out 6 days a week at the time as well. I had a boyfriend, and I was driving 2 hours away and I just felt so hopeless and overwhelmed. And I was like, I can't keep doing this. So I did actually like start researching ways to get out of debt and started with my credit card debt at first. I think I had $15,000 and then moved on to my student loans after that.
And so, you know, when you said researching, and there's, you know, if I were to Google right now, you know, how to get out of debt, there'd probably be like 5 million pages that would pop up.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it's a, you have a different approach, but we're going to hit that first. We're going to hit that. But I always feel like, you know, they always tell you to get out of the credit card debt before you even touch, you know, any of your other debts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always wondered why. Do you know?
So credit card debt usually is the most high interest. So like most of your credit cards are going to be between 21 and like 29% interest. That's why I did it first. And I think I had a buffer of paying off my student loans at that time. Like I was just paying the minimum and I wasn't accruing as much interest. And student loans are usually like 4 to 7% if they're federal student loans. So, I mean, definitely pay your credit cards off first. But the one thing that everyone did say that I don't agree with the amount that they talk about, but everyone says to have some sort of emergency fund first, because my biggest issue was every time I would put money into savings, I'd have to pull it right back out and everything was an emergency. So yeah. Like if I needed an oil change, that was an emergency. An oil change should not be an emergency. And you should not have to pull out money or put it on a credit card for an oil change, like something that should be scheduled every couple months. And the fact that I couldn't even take care of the car that I had bought was a big red flag for me. So that's kind of like, you got to save first. And then after that, then you can, I would probably do credit cards and then student loans, just depending on what your interest rates are. But then there's also different ways to go about it, like if you want to have a small win or a big win or whatever. So it just depends on what your goals are and like if you're a money person, like, or a numbers person, or if you're like motivated by small wins. There's different ways to go about paying off debt.
So basically so you're saying, you know, figure out what you want your outcome to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, clearly, yes, getting out of debt. But, you know, here's where it's very similar to weight loss. You know, everyone wants to decide right now, they hear this podcast, like, yeah, I'm totally getting out of debt, or yeah, I'm totally losing weight. And then they want to go to bed tonight, and by Friday, problem solved.
Yep.
And so what you're saying is, you know, decide what the outcome is. So like, you know, so here you are, you're at the gas station, you're like, I'm broke as a joke. This sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, okay, I'm going to start by paying off my credit card. Now, did you look at, you know, your credit card says, oh, if you owe $10,000, you know, pay us $100 every month. Did you have a specific formula that you used? Or like, you know, what was it that you said, okay, I'm going to pay down my credit card, but I still want to make sure I'm not eating ramen noodles and I can put gas in my car.
Yeah. So two things that were really important to me that like, I feel like as I went and got more aggressive, I still didn't sacrifice these things were my health. So I always paid for my gym membership, and I pretty much always had like a nutrition coach, and I always bought healthy food. Like, I never sacrificed the choices of food that I was buying. I would eat out less, but I would make sure that like I was eating the right kinds of food. I didn't just buy like peanut butter and jelly, or like Dave Ramsey says, like the rice and bean diet. Like, those were things that were important to me that I knew that I could not keep working if my body wasn't functioning the way it should function. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah. And I like that. So I have a thing that I call your non-negotiables. So you said to yourself, you know what, I want to dig out of this hole, but I'm not willing to, you know, live off of ramen and ketchup.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell people like three things, like here are the three things that I'm not going to do without. So maybe, do I need to go to Starbucks every day? No, but I'm not going to give up coffee. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to give up my health. I'm not going to give up my gym membership. And those were important to you. And I think that's a lesson for a lot of people to take away, is that I think most people think you have to, like, you know, scrimp and save and, you know, sacrifice in order for you to pay off your debt. But just like with food, I think that just sets you up for a binge later down the line.
And I can talk about that too. So I got super into Dave Ramsey, like obsessively, for about 6 months. It was while my husband was deployed, actually. And I was working a ton of extras, and it was right before our wedding, and I was like saving a lot of money, and I got super, super strict and I sacrificed a lot more things than what I normally would have, which is kind of where the saving without sacrifice came from. And I got very obsessive with it, and I ended up like going on shopping sprees or online shopping or whatever, just because I was so obsessed with paying my debt off. And it also, to my detriment, made me feel bad. And it wasn't until I finally decided that like this freedom that I am striving for, I can have right now. So even though I'm not debt free now, I can feel what it feels like, what I'm going to feel like later on down the road when I am debt free. And I can live like that now while still paying off my debt and still accomplishing my goals. It may take me a little bit longer, but I'm not going to be blowing the money that I would be blowing if I'm so strict. And that's kind of why I'm so passionate about people deciding what is their non-negotiables or things that they don't want to sacrifice, so that they do stick to their plan instead of always just blowing your budget.
Yeah. And I love that, because what you just described is exactly what happens in food. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going on this diet, I'm going hardcore, I'm going balls to the wall, and then vacation comes. Mm-hmm. Or then, you know, you've been white knuckling it, and then you're like, fuck it, I'm just going to have a brownie. And that brownie turns into an ice cream cake, and that turns into ribs. And that next thing you know, you're at the Old Country Buffet and they're kicking your ass out. So
yeah.
And I totally get that, because I know when I paid off a bunch of debt, I was like, woohoo. And then because I sacrificed so much, and then I was like, party. And it, you know, didn't come back as much as it was, but it came back, and I was like, holy fuck. How did I get, like, I was like I was in a coma. Like, someone grabbed my credit card from me.
Yep. That's why I'm very passionate about like people having a bigger savings account too. And that is the one issue too, with only having $1,000 in savings, like some financial experts say. I always believe that you need to pay yourself first.
Yes.
Just like if you were exercising or, you know, buying food or whatever, like, you need to do what's best for you first, and you need to put yourself first. And once you start showing the universe or whoever, you know, you believe in that you are putting yourself first and that is who you're going to take care of, everything else you'll be able to follow because you've automated that.
And I love that. There's a book by Mike Moskalowicz, and I could be butchering his last name, but I do know the name of the book. It's called Profit First. And over the last 2 years, I've been following his method. And, mm-hmm. you know, as an entrepreneur, it's really easy for you not to pay yourself. Yeah. And you put all your money back in your business and then be like, well, on my top line says this, but my bank account says nothing. And, you know, he described exactly what you said. You have to pay yourself first. Now, are you paying yourself $100,000 a year? No, but you're paying yourself something. So you get into the habit of accepting what you're paying yourself for the work that you're putting into your business.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so I really like that because, you know, like you said, I would live off of ramen noodles and, you know, whatever was in the damaged food aisle to pay off my debt. But then you're like, if I give myself a little wiggle room, so maybe it's, I'm, you know, scaling back my, you know, Dom Perignon and I'm living the Miller High life. I at least feel like I am living versus sacrificing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's all mental too, because once you change your mentality, and that's the first like piece of what I teach people, is they don't really realize they need this mental piece. But all this is habits and changing your mindset. And once you do those two things, all this other stuff that people get so caught up into, like the budgeting and the saving and all that, like you can automate that and you can just make it habitual. And I think so many people don't understand habits and they create bad habits instead of good habits, when you can be using those habits and it'll feel like you're not really sacrificing anything.
And you know, it's funny you just said that about the habit and the mindset. That's not sexy, right? I want to, you know, get this like blueprint that if I follow it, you know, I want that guarantee, right? That if I follow this to the T, I'm going to be $20,000 out of debt in 2 minutes.
Yep.
And I think where, you know, you do a really good job is talking about the habits, you know, talking about the habit of always treating yourself. You know, you do a really good job. If you, we'll talk about this at the end, but if you're not following Ali on Instagram, she does a really good job of painting the story of how we all get in debt. You know, she talked about, you know, it's a Saturday night and you got nothing to do. So you're scrolling through the internet and, you know, you might be buying $20 here, $20 there, and it all adds up. Yeah. And then you don't really realize until you get your credit card bill on the 31st that you're like, did I buy that?
And most people, that's how they get into debt. They don't get into debt with like big, large purchases. They get into debt just with the day-to-day spending. And it's the same thing with saving. Like most people don't save $1,000 a month unless they're being really aggressive about it. But if you save $20, I don't know if you've read The Latte Factor, but he kind of talks about compounding interest both ways. So with saving and with debt, you want that interest to work for you. So whether it's saving $5 a day, $20 a day, $20 a week, whatever, if you're always doing that, it's going to compound. And yeah, the same thing with working out or eating right. The more days that you have wins, the more that you're going to reap the benefit of that.
And I'd like that. So can you repeat that book? So I want to make sure I get the links in the show notes for the folks.
The Latte Factor by David Bach.
Latte Factor. And I like that because like one of the, when I first started, you know, looking at debt and looking at kind of my habits, one of the things they said was every day, write down what you spend money on without judgment. Just, you know, here. And if you look at what could you do without, mm-hmm, and not in a, you know, what, like we've talked about being super sacrificial, but what could you live without? And one of the big things for me, until I started really tracking it, I didn't realize at the time I was buying coffee twice a day. Mm-hmm. And at the time it was $2.21. And I still remember it because I was like, $2.21. And then you do the math, you're like, holy shit. Yeah. You know, what was just easily $2.21. And then I finally was like, you know what? I can easily bring coffee. Mm-hmm. Like I love coffee. I'm never going to give it up. And it's a sacrifice. And now like when I drink it out, I was like, huh, I used to do this all the time. And now it's like a treat.
Yeah. I mean, even just cutting it back, like just doing it once a week, like that's a huge thing. And you can buy the nice coffee that you want. You don't have to sacrifice the coffee. Just make it at home.
Yeah.
And that will save you. Yeah.
So for most people, when they're trying to get out of debt, so they're going to look at, you know, what do their credit cards look like? But are they also trying to save for a rainy day at the same time?
So that's the one thing that is different with my like methods and my plan and stuff like that. I am always saving regardless. And I always tell people to save at least 1,000, which is what, you know, Dave Ramsey says, but I don't think an emergency is going to be covered by $1,000. So I also believe that you need to be saving a certain percentage of your income every paycheck, no matter what. And just that $1,000 will go into like an easy accessible account. And the rest of that money that you're saving monthly will go into a high interest savings account for whatever you want to, you know, save for. Gotcha. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I like that because like, you know, the book I talked about, Profit First, he talked about putting some money in accounts you can't touch.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's why I like the high interest savings account too, because some of them are kind of coming down, but the one that I have is 2% or 2.1 or something. And it's out of sight, out of mind. It's easily accessible enough to where like, if I had something happen, I can easily transfer and it'll take 1 or 2 days, but it's not there staring at me in my face where I can pull it out and be like, oh, let me just transfer this over to my checking account because I want to buy new shoes.
Right. So, or it's not attached to a debit card where you can just go out.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that was very good for me. You know, I just needed, I transfer, you know, I laugh at like all the money that I transfer at the end of the month, but I do a lot of transfers. And like, for me, it's out of sight, out of mind that I look in my, like, you know, my day-to-day account. I'm like, okay, this is the money I have, but I know I have a blanket.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now let's talk about your method, you know? So here, Allie, like, I love it. She's like paying it forward. She's like, I struggled. I bumped into a few walls and I finally figured out the way to get it done. So first of all, how much did you pay off?
So in the last year, so from last June to this June, I paid off $36,000 just of student loan debt. And then during that time, I also saved $10,000 for our wedding in November of last year.
Okay. So let me just reiterate that because she just totally just, you know, glossed over that. She paid off in 12 months, $36,000. Okay. So that, for some people, that's 1 year of college. She paid off $36,000 in 1 year and a $10,000 wedding. And that's not a wedding going to Vegas and getting married in the drive-thru. So that sounds like a very nice wedding. And so that's basically $46,000 she was able to figure out how to pull out of her life without doing 400 shifts a week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if 400 shifts a week is possible, but no. It might feel like that. Okay. So you did that. So you said, okay, you have a special way that you did this. And you're now saying, you know what? I want other people to know that putting together $46,000 in a year, that it's not easy, but it ain't that tough.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me?
Yeah.
Okay. So I did work weekends. So that kind of helped you get paid extra for weekends. So I did kind of do that. And then I had a part-time job on the side as well. So I did work a little bit extra. I worked two night shifts a week, 1 day shift a week, and then would work 40 hours in a month of doing, like, it's kind of like private nursing care. So I did make a little bit extra money last year than I did will be making this year. But I did pay about 80% of my take home salary to this $46,000. So the one thing that I do is I obviously pay myself first. After I pay myself first, I write down my budget. My budget never changes. So regardless of whether I'm making $1,500 per paycheck or $2,000 per paycheck, I budget off the lower amount per paycheck. So then that way, anything that's over that goes to debt.
Perfect. Perfect. So what you're going to be teaching people, she has a coaching program that she does. So what you teach people is, what is your, like, for me, I'm an entrepreneur, so I have a good, better, best scenario. And yeah. So I target my money towards my good.
Yep.
So I have a good month. I know that I can easily pay my bills and no one's knocking on my door looking for money. Mm-hmm. And then my best month and my better month, everything above that's gravy.
Yep.
So you're saying, look at your paycheck. And without you doing any superhuman stuff, if you make $1,000 a paycheck, budget to $1,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, a lot of times you can find extra money in there and you include your debt payments in your budget. So a lot of people don't include their food, they don't include their gas, and they don't include their debts in their budget. And that those all should be included in your budget. It's something that you pay for monthly or bi-monthly, just depending on what your preference is. And you need to include those in your budget. They're not just like, oh, well, I'm going to eventually pay them. So,
right.
You need to, yeah.
Yeah. And I totally get that because you're absolutely right. So what, and most financial planners will tell you this, like, you know, look at your, you know, your credit card statements, look at your bank account and look at every single thing that flowed out of your accounts. Mm-hmm. In 30 days. And that's where you build your budget.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that's like I'm doing a 5-day tracker spending challenge and I offer a free tracker that people write down all the things that they spent money on. And it'll be a way for you to automatically find extra money that you're either like blowing or you have certain monthly or weekly subscriptions that you could cancel. So just being aware is the first step. And then after that, deciding on how much you're going to put towards savings, that would be the second step.
Yeah, you know, you nailed it. I think what happens to a lot of us, those monthly things that you don't look at, mm-hmm. you know, especially if, I know for me, if something's under like $50, I don't really think too hard about it. But if I add it up 50 times 12, that's $600. Mm-hmm. And that $600 that could go towards something else.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. I love all of this. And, you know, when you were when you had all that debt, were you stressed out?
Yeah, I was stressed, especially when I was like so aggressive and like so obsessed with the number that I had. Mm. It was affecting like my workouts, my sleep. I felt hopeless. I felt really insecure. When I first started dating my husband, when I was like at the beginning stages, I felt unlovable. I felt that like he wouldn't want to like continue dating me. So I didn't want to talk about it. And he's actually the first person I opened up to. And it's why I'm so big on community and people talking about their debt. Because if you have someone to talk to, you're much more likely to stick to your plan than if you just kind of hide it inside and like don't talk about it.
Yeah. I always say this, you know, why do you think Weight Watchers is so popular? It ain't because you want to step on that damn scale. It's because you're around like-minded people. And mm-hmm. I don't know how this came in our society that if you're in debt, it's this like shameful little secret. Like mm-hmm. you have this like scarlet D on you and you feel like you're going to be judged because you did it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you did a post that I know that was very hard for me. And when I changed my mindset, it made it a little easier. You posted about, you know, your debt is for things that, for blessings you've already received.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually heard that at Rachel Luna's event, Confidence Activated. She said it and it like stuck out in my mind and I was like, dang, I've never thought about it this way. And even like paying off all that stuff, I was like, wow, like if we just changed our mindset to that and people were just open and honest about it, because we've all made those mistakes and you are not, your debt is not a mistake that you should wear, like you said. It should be just for things that you've already received and you should, when you know better, you do better. So obviously like you learn how to live within your means and, you know, but sometimes debt is necessary. It just depends on what your goals are and what your lifestyle is. And as long as you are comfortable with it and you feel like you can pay it off, then, you know, that's your thing.
Yeah, I'm 100% agreement with you. And, you know, Because I remember I heard that saying before Rachel's event, and it just was, you know, you get reminded.
Yeah.
And I remember I was doing, working with a coach, and we were doing mindset work. And so I was like, yeah, I was still paying off my debt, and thankfully I'm debt free. I was paying off my debt, and I was like, oh, just like, it just weighed on me like a fucking anchor around my neck. And she said, she goes, well, you've received these blessings. She goes, I want you to sit down and like look at your debt. And what have you done? You know, what got you in that debt? And it was when I was building my business. And it's kind of like student loans. Like you got to go to college. You want to be a nurse. Like you can't just like roll up at a hospital and be like, I think I can do this.
Yes, definitely.
So, you know, I had to look at it. I had to change the perspective. And now, you know, one of the other things that changed the perspective is like when I pay bills, like when I pay Comcast, I can't say I jump up and down, but it's like, if I didn't pay Comcast, this recording wouldn't be happening because I wouldn't have any internet access.
Yes, definitely. And that's one thing I've been trying to put out there too is, you know, you should be as thankful for your bills as you are for your paychecks, because the more thankful you are for your bills, you are kind of learning that exchange between the money exchange and all that. And the more open you are with money exchanging and realizing that it's fluid and it will come back to you, and the less tight you hold on to your money, the more money will come to you. And I really do believe that, because the more I focused on my debt, instead of focusing on kind of the money that I was getting, the more that's all I could think about was my debt. And I didn't really, wasn't thankful for anything else that I had.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, it falls into that whole law of abundance that, you know, you have to give to receive.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And you have to be open to receive. And, you know, before I wrap up this great conversation, because like we brought in health, we brought in money, I'm like vibrating right now. I'm, you know, when I was going through my mindset shift, this one blew my mind, but it also like was very eye opening at the same time. So I was listening to a podcast because I'm a podcast junkie, and this woman talked about her and her husband were like on their last dime, and she was at church and she heard about this family. I can't remember if they had like a fire or a flood or something. It was just like something heartbreaking. And she was at church and she said to her husband, she's like, I know you're going to be upset. They were saving for a trip. She's like, I know you're going to be upset, but I gave $5,000 to the church today. And she told him the story. And so that means we're not going on our trip. And the guy goes, and you know, her husband's like, all right, honey, so what made you give away the $5,000? And she said, don't laugh. She's like, she goes, the Lord told me I needed to do this. And so he's like, okay. He's like, I'm not happy about it, but he's like, I can't knock that, you know, us going on a trip versus this family having a flood or a fire. So then probably 6 months later, she is at work and she gets this like $15,000 bonus. So now she got triple what she put in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, instead of going on like an okay vacation with this bonus, they were able to go on a really nice vacation. And mm-hmm. So it was like those kind of eye-opening things where like you have to have belief and faith that even if you can't see it, it's out there.
Yes.
And I know for a lot of people, you know, there might be some eye rolling right now, but, you know, that's what Allie did. She's like, I knew the way she was doing it was causing her anxiety. And if I let go and try it a different way, I believe I could do it. Mm-hmm. And well, here's proof. She did it.
Because I went on a couple trips. We had a hurricane last year. There were multiple times where I messed up. I spent too much money. And I still was able to pay off that massive amount. And I really don't think I would have been able to if I didn't believe that, you know, it's all going to work out.
All right. So Lynn, you said one thing that I got to touch on. You said I messed up, but you kept going, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's why I talk about habits, because if you have habits, it doesn't matter if you mess up, you'll just jump right back on and continue.
Oh my gosh. I'm coming to North Carolina to make out with you, because that is just like, that is gold right there, because that's what happens to so many people. Mm-hmm. trip over a stone and they treat it like they tripped over Everest and they cannot get back up.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you are going to mess up. But the thing, what you said is you knew what your goals were. And you're like, well, I found a way that's not my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, lesson learned, back at it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, your way of doing it, I know that I've, you know, for those of you guys who don't know Dave Ramsey or follow Dave Ramsey, I'll put a link in the show notes. He has a very regimented, structured way to follow it. And some people thrive under that.
Mm-hmm.
I know I don't.
I don't either. I'm like an all or nothing type of person. So if I'm doing that, then I'm like, if I fall off, I'm like, oh, I messed up. And it just caused me way too much stress and anxiety. And so for me, I just needed something different. And I did as much research as I could and trial and error. And this is kind of how I came up with, you know, what I'm teaching now.
Yeah. And I love that because, you know, here you are, you're giving people a framework. You're not saying do this or die. And mm-hmm. I feel like other financial planners are do this or die, where you're like, hey, I'm going to give you the blueprint. I'm going to give you the, I'm going to give you the tracks and you decide how fast you go on the track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is missing from a lot of programs, a lot of gurus is that, you know, it's like my way or the highway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, that, and you're already stressed out because you're in debt. Like, do you need to be stressed because you didn't put money in a fucking envelope? Like, come
no.
on. So, Allie, this has been awesome. And I thank you so much for your time. And I'm so grateful that, you know, the hurricane didn't deflect us from this conversation. I have one last question for you.
Okay.
What makes you feel magical?
When people message me and say that just something they read on my Instagram or some tip or whatever that I gave them changed their life or that they've paid off a certain amount. Because I've gotten a ton of those messages recently and it just makes me so happy.
I know. And you're just like, little old me? Like
I know. I'm like, oh my gosh.
You're like, I'm just a girl who goes to work.
I know.
Yeah. I love those messages too. So Allie, you have an upcoming course. Can you just give us a little bit about that?
Yep. It's called The 3 Phases to Financial Freedom. It's an 8-week course and it will be starting on October 7th. If you want pre-enrollment, the wait list will be linked in the show notes. And you'll get a $50 off coupon and you'll get a pre-enrollment for the course, which I think is the 18th of September. But after that, I'm only taking 15 people, so.
All right.
Yep.
And I hopefully you guys are one of the 15 people and you can get into our program. Because I think if you have some debt, I think this is a great way to go about it. So Allie, where else can people find you in social media?
So I, on Instagram, am at the_debt-free-nurse. And if you look at my Instagram, I also have an email list and stuff that you can subscribe to. And I have a Facebook page. I think it's the_debt-free-nurse as well.
Awesome.
Yep.
So this has been a great conversation. I thank you so much. And I'm sure my magic makers have taken away so many nuggets because I got 2 pages of notes. So hopefully they have the same thing as well. Thank you so much, Allie. And I cannot wait for all my folks to hear this and get some amazing results with their debt reduction. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to the Fit Girl Magic Podcast. If you've made it this far, yay. I'm thinking you enjoyed the show. Let's continue the conversation on Instagram. You can find me at Kim Jefferson Coach. In order for me to keep sharing this message, do me a favor and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe so that you won't miss an episode. New episodes are available every Wednesday. The Fit Girl Magic Podcast is intended to provide you with tips, tools, and strategies that will help you make better decisions about your health. I really appreciate your feedback and your support. Thank you so much.